You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome in, everyone, to this Monday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is June 10th, and I hope y'all had a great weekend. I was off for a few days, but it's great to be back again and talking about sports. We had a lot going on this weekend, but I wanted to take a slightly different approach today and talk about the NBA Finals for a while. So instead of running through a bunch of the scores and the recaps like we usually do, I figured we would hit on some of the major talking points throughout the series so far and give some thoughts on what I think is going to happen next and maybe some additional talking points. So let's jump right into it. Might take a little bit longer than our typical episode, but I think it'll be fun. So here we go. So we had game two of the finals last night, and I'm sure you know by now, but the Celtics won again 105-98 to take a 2-0 series lead. And I know they were home for the first two games and they were pretty heavy favorites, but it just feels a little unfair so far. I mean, Tatum and Brown haven't totally played their best. Porzingis was even a little hobbled by the end of game two, and they haven't had one of those like huge, huge breakout games from the guys like Pritchard or White, but here they are. They're still up 2-0, and it feels like they haven't really even been tested yet. Game one was basically over after the first quarter, and the Mavs just couldn't close the gap in game two to get it where they had a real shot at the end. Luka's been great so far. He's scored at least 30 in both the games, and he had a triple double in game two, along with four steals as well. But Kyrie just hasn't really shown up like they need him to yet. He scored just 12 in the first game on 6 of 19 shooting, and he wasn't much better in game two. He had just 16 on 7 of 18 shooting. And he's averaging just 4 assists so far, and he hasn't even made a 3 yet. So I don't think any NBA team is just willingly going to give up baskets, but it almost feels like the Celtics don't care if Luka gets his. They just are going to shut down everybody else. But like I said, I don't think that's really their strategy, but no one else has been able to get it going yet for Dallas, and they're definitely going to need someone else to step up if they want to have a chance in this series. But it's also been interesting on the Celtics side because they're clear favorites to win the series at this point. But the finals MVP is definitely up for debate. Tatum is obviously their best player, but he's been far from the best in the first two games. He's shooting just 32% from the field, 29% from three, and that's while Jrue Holiday and Jaylen Brown have both outscored him, and they've been much more efficient in the process. Even Porzingis has just 2 fewer points, but he's played 43 fewer minutes than Tatum so far. Those guys, they have the same amount of makes from the field, but Tatum has taken 18 more shots than Porzingis. So after two games, not really sure who the MVP would be. Brown probably would have the best case with Jrue Holiday right behind him, but it's also why we don't name the MVP after two games. Tatum has still played pretty well aside from the shooting struggles. He's got 20 rebounds, 17 assists, and honestly, I think he's probably poised for a breakout game in game three. You know, they're saying all the right things in the media, you know, everything like, oh, you know, we won. That's all that matters. But I'm sure he's hearing a lot of the noise, and I think he's definitely due. Dallas is favored early on in game three, but I just have a feeling Tatum is going to go for something like 36 points and 7 assists, and they'll probably get a great game from at least one other player and take a 3-0 series lead. But that's why they play the games, and if he doesn't have a performance like that before they can close the series out, I think we're going to end up with a finals MVP that feels a little bit more like Iguodala in 2015 or Kawhi back in 2014, where they weren't necessarily the team's best player at that point, but the best player didn't do enough to be deserving of the MVP. So even though they've still played pretty well, we typically hold those guys to a higher standard, like Steph in 2015, or like some of the other Spurs players in 2014. But anyway, this also got me thinking about where this Celtics team would rank amongst the other champions from the last decade or so, if they would go on to win. They were great in the regular season. They've pretty much cakewalked through the playoffs. And of course, the series isn't over, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Mavs come back and make it interesting. So I don't want to completely rule that out. But, you know, just for entertainment purposes, let's just entertain the thought of the Celtics winning. Of course, if the Mavs go on to win, you know, Luka is undoubtedly the finals MVP. But again, let's just pretend the Celtics close this one out in 5 or 6 games. And there's been a lot of other great teams over the past decade, so I thought it would be fun to run through them, try to rank them from worst to first, under this assumption that the Celtics go on to win it all. So looking at the teams from the last 10 years, there were a lot of great ones. You know, and just kind of running through them real quick. So you had the Warriors in 2015, and we'll just go in chronological order. Then the Cavs, and then the Warriors again in 17 and 18. In 2019, you had the Raptors. 2020 was the Lakers. 21 was the Bucks. 22 was the Warriors again. Last year was the Nuggets, and then we would assume this year would be the Celtics. So starting out ranking at number 10, I think this would be the 2019 Raptors. The East was pretty weak. This was the first year after LeBron had left. And they didn't play a lot of great teams on their way to the finals. And then they get to the finals and they play a very injured Warriors team. Klay was hobbled and he wasn't able to finish out the series. Durant played something like 12 minutes, I think, total in the entire finals. And it just wasn't that same Warriors team. They were so banged up. And you had this was Kawhi's, you know, year, over there in Toronto, but they feel like the weakest team from the last decade to win a championship. And it feels like a team that might kind of fall, you know, victim to history where it just kind of gets forgotten. Like it'll never be forgotten in Toronto. It was such an iconic win for them, but in the rest of the sports universe, I'm not so sure that this one's going to last. You know, I feel like there's certain ones that just kind of stick with you, you know, for example, like the 2016 Cubs, like for some reason, I feel like everyone remembers that championship, but this doesn't feel like one of those. So they're going to come in at number 10 for me. Number nine, I think, is the 2021 Bucks. They just had 46 regular season wins. It was a shortened regular season where they just played 72 games, but they didn't feel like a great team to even begin with. They lost 7 games in the playoffs, 3 to Brooklyn, 2 to the Hawks, and then they also lost 2 to the Suns in the finals, and they had essentially zero finals experience. Two of their best players were, you know, young Devin Booker, young DeAndre Ayton, and Chris Paul, who had never been there before. So they had some decent role players as well, but it wasn't that impressive of a win, at least in my mind. And this was also after the COVID year where a lot of the best teams that went deep into the bubble, had almost no rest and they really struggled the following season. So, you know, I wouldn't call it like a Mickey Mouse championship. You know, I think it's still a legit chip and, you know, still one of the best teams of the decade. Obviously Giannis was great and Middleton and their supporting cast. But I'm going to put them at 9 in these rankings. Next at 8, I've got the 2022 Warriors. It felt like every team they played that year in the playoffs was like just before their prime. They played a young Denver team, a young Memphis team, a young Dallas team, and then they played the Celtics in the finals, and it felt like they were just like a year or two early. Tatum was 23, Brown was just 25, and they didn't have the experience that the Warriors had at that point, and I think they were just completely outmatched. So still a great team, but I'm going to put that Warriors team at number 8. At number 7, I've got the 2015 Warriors. I felt like this team was also kind of a year before they were ready to really break out. You know, they had obviously been great and with the Mark Jackson teams, and this was, you know, Steve Kerr kind of coming in and helping to revitalize that roster, but I still felt like they were a year away and they beat a Cavs team in the finals that was decimated. I think if just one of either Kyrie or Kevin Love are healthy, they probably lose that series. The series still went 6. LeBron was just so clearly in his prime, just dominant coming off of his run in Miami. And I think if he just had one other guy with him, I think the Cavs probably win that series. The second best player for the Cavs is probably Dellavedova. Maybe you make a case for Tristan Thompson, but just completely overmatched without Kyrie and Love. So I think this Warriors team was pretty good, but just a little bit ahead of their prime. And like I said, I don't think they win if the Cavs are healthy. So they're going to come in at 7. At 6, I think as of now, this is where I'd put the Celtics team. They were great in the regular season, but they haven't really been tested. I wish we would have got a more proven team in the finals than the Mavs. You know, I think the Mavs are great. Luka definitely has a case to be the best player in the league right now. I think he is just incredible. I think Kyrie's an awesome number 2. But they don't feel as proven yet. I don't really know how to describe it. I know Luka's been, you know, he's been playing pro ball for, you know, probably almost a decade now, counting his, you know, Europe seasons. But I don't know. They just still feel like they're not totally there yet. Maybe it's just their supporting cast. I don't know if they're just a piece away or what it is. And I know they're a little bit banged up as well. But, you know, the Celtics have played pretty much, like, they haven't played anyone at full strength in the playoffs yet. Maybe you can argue this Mavs team, but every, you know, between the Heat, the Cavs, the Knicks, like every team that they've played, all their best players have been out. So they were so great in the regular season, but I wanted to see them be tested. So I have them at six just because we just haven't seen them have to play to the best of their abilities really yet. You know, I think they, you could definitely make a case that they could be higher, but they haven't had to prove that. And if, even if they go on to win the championship here, you know, they just, they haven't been completely tested. And I would have loved to see them play a team like Denver, in the finals that had been there with a little bit more experience, but that's where we are. So I've got them right in the middle at six. At five, I've got the 2023 Nuggets. I think this team is a little bit underrated and, you know, they might kind of fall victim to history as well, where it gets kind of forgotten. But I think this team was great. You know, you had MVP caliber Jokic. Murray is a great number two. You've got Michael Porter Jr., which I think a lot of people forget how highly touted he was coming out of high school and throughout college. But, you know, because of his injuries, he wasn't drafted as high, and that's why he fell to the Nuggets. And, you know, he's such a great third option. I know he doesn't always totally show up, but he's been a Lakers killer over the past couple years. And I think he's a great third option. You know, they've got KCP, Brown. Aaron Gordon is just on an absolute steal of a contract. I think he's a great fit on that team. And they had some guys like Jeff Green in there also. So, you know, I think this was a great team. But there's a lot of great teams over the past decade. So I've got them at number five. I think they had a pretty solid run. But I don't think it was as good as these top four teams. And so at four, I've got the 2020 Lakers, who won the bubble championship. And I think this championship gets discredited a lot because it was in the bubble. But I just don't think anyone understands how tough it was to stay focused down there. I think we kind of forget how crazy the world was at that point. And there were so many variables and things going on. And for them to stay focused and be able to close that out and win the championship was so impressive. And I think also lost in the mix is how good that team was. You know, prior to everything kind of getting shut down, they had such a great record. And I want to say they had some crazy stat where they were like 57-0 in games where they had the lead entering the fourth quarter. And, you know, this is obviously, you know, prime Anthony Davis. LeBron, I think, was in his probably 16th season at that point, but still playing, you know, awesome. I mean, he's still playing great today, but, you know, this was even, you know, 4 years ago. And that team, that they were deep. They played defense. And, you know, I think they were spectacular. And I think it gets lost, you know, in the hoopla of everything else. And people want to call it a Mickey Mouse ring and this and that. But that was a great team. And I don't know if they'll be remembered for that. But so that's why I've got them at number four. At number three, I've got the 2016 Cavs. I really think that period from probably 2016, especially 2016 and 2017, was some of the best basketball that we've probably ever seen, for sure in my lifetime. It was just so efficient. Everything was so crisp, but the stakes felt huge. And I think, you know, this was almost like the height of basketball. And, you know, that Cavs team, they knocked down the 73-win Warriors. You know, they come back down from 3-1. And that Warriors team was great. You know, I would have them on this list if they had won. But obviously they didn't, so we can't have them on here. But yeah, that Cavs team, you know, I think people forget how deep they were too. You know, you had your big three with LeBron and Kyrie and Love, but they had a lot of shooters too, you know, between JR and Shumpert and Channing Frye, and, you know, a whole list of other guys. But that team was great also. And I think they would give any other team on this list, that I've mentioned previously, a run for their money. And I think they would beat, all, at least the bottom half of the list, pretty handily. So I've got the Cavs at number three in 2016. At number two, I've got the 2018 Warriors. This was a team, you know, obviously they added Kevin Durant and, you know, they had the other three Hall of Famers, won pretty handily throughout the playoffs. They weren't really tested too much. But I don't think they were as good as the 2017 Warriors. That 2017 Warriors team, you know, they added Durant to that 73-win team. They went on to win 67 games in the regular season. They only lost once in the playoffs, which was to the Cavs. And that was when the Cavs still had Kyrie. I don't give the 2018 Warriors as much credit because that's when, you know, Kyrie had requested the trade. He left, and that 2018 Cavs team just was not as good. And that's why they got swept in the finals. But 2017, they were still pretty much full strength. And that Warriors team was just so dominant. They were just so unfair with Durant those 2 years. I don't think any team that I've seen, you know, in my lifetime touches either of those Warriors teams. And that's why that 2017 Warriors team is going to come in at number one for me here. So yeah, that was the last 10 champions ranked. We'll see if the Celtics actually make the list or not. I think they've got a great chance to. They're obviously up 2-0. But you know, the series heads back to Dallas. I wouldn't count out Luka. Kyrie is just also an absolute killer, even though he hasn't really shown up in the first two games. But, you know, they could turn it around real quick. If they win both games, you know, we've got a best of three, you know, to wrap up that series. And if they lose game three, then it's probably over. But like I said, that's why we play the game. So we'll see where they end up. But yeah, wanted to run through a list like that, mix up the episode today. Like I said, a little bit longer, going over our technical 10-minute limit. But this was fun. I want to do something different. But, you know, with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Monday episode of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider subscribing and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.